It's a privilege of being here with y'all tonight. I really do appreciate you guys. I appreciate just sitting here listening to y'all pray and just knowing we have so many prayer warriors. It's an encouragement and an example for us younger believers. So I just want to thank y'all for that. Tonight, we're going to look at just one or two verses. We'll be in Matthew 28, just 19 and 20. Pretty familiar verses. This is right before Jesus is being called up in his ascension after his crucifixion and resurrection. And I will start at 19, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So tonight, I just wanted to share a few thoughts about disciple-making. Not so much why. I don't think anybody would argue that. Christ is pretty clear there that we need to be making disciples. But more so, how do we go about doing it? That's always been something that's been on my heart, especially since the Lord's really brought a few people in my life to really disciple me, and I see firsthand what an effect that has on life. So I wanted just to kind of share a few thoughts, a few ideas, some from my own personal experience, some from much more experienced men and women that have shared their thoughts and ideas with me. So I just want to share some tools for making disciples, and I want to preface it with this. This is absolutely not this is how it has to look. This is the end-all, be-all of discipleship making. This is just a few things and a few thoughts and a few ideas I have, and it can look completely different in your life, and that's fine, but just something that maybe will help you, bless you, challenge you as you're trying to invest in lives. So the first tool, and this is pretty, I would say, self-evident, but the first one is study and be in the Word together. That sounds pretty simple, yeah, obviously, but I've learned as I've met with young men and try to share some time with them, it almost like can get overlooked. You almost just assume you're going to get together and be in the Word, and before you know it, an hour's gone by and you've done nothing but just, you know, you've actually not shared anything in the Word. So I've noticed that as you get together, the Word gives focus and purpose and intentionality when you're with your time together. Because if you guys are like me, my time is very limited. I've actually told young men, if we're going to get together, it's going to be with a purpose. I don't have a lot of time to hang out all day just, you know, hanging out. It's got to be for a reason. And the Word gives us that focus. The Word is truth, obviously. It's not a feeling. It's not emotions. It's not opinions. And some things, as I've learned sharing my time with some guys, I've started out early. I'd find myself sharing my opinions with young men and realizing that's not quite what they need. I'm not making Jason disciples, and that's kind of something I'm trying to learn. I thought about John the Baptist, and he's walking with his two disciples. And his disciples, these men were following him. And he sees Christ walking, and he points to them, and what does he say? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And those two men, his disciples, follow Christ. And in the eyes of the world, that's like, well, that's a loss. You just lost two of your disciples. But that's obviously the point. We're not making us disciples. We're here to make Christ as like disciples. And we do that by pointing them to the Word. Being in the Word purposely can be a lot of different ways. I mean, I've told guys, let's read something together before we get together, and let's just discuss it, let's just share it. You could do a Bible study together, you can just have, you know, there's so many different ways, and I'm not going to sit here and list them all, but being purposeful about the Word. And with that, remember that, it's again something I've learned the hard way, you're not trying to impress these guys or these young ladies with how much you know. And I remember one time me and Mark were hanging out early on. I was sharing something I had read. I was all proud of myself. I said, like, yeah, I was reading John chapter 17, and I was telling him, I said, isn't it amazing that while Christ is in the garden, he's praying that for us? And obviously Christ wasn't in the garden, but I thought he was. And Mark was so, like, we're driving down the road, and he goes, I'm not sure, Jason, but was Christ in the garden, or was he in the upper room? And I'm like, you know he knew, but that's all right. That humility and that, he wasn't trying to impress me. He was trying to show me how to learn and dive into Scripture myself, and that's the point. And that was, years and years ago, I still remember that was just that lesson of humility and just gentleness and not quick to say, oh, you're wrong. This is what it was. I know you don't. And that's just something. So think about that as you're spending time with these young men and women. Remember, it's not about what we know. It's about who we're pointing them to. So the first one, study and be in the Word. The second one, share life together. This is something that I'm starting to understand more and more, is that if we think about the Scripture as a classroom, sharing life is the lab. Seeing that it's allowing disciples, allowing these young men and women to see how we interact with culture and society when really interacting with people day to day. You know, I was thinking about, you know, some of the challenges in our culture now. I mean, social media. Whatever you thought social media would be an issue 50 years ago, but it's a legitimate thing. And how does someone who's trying to display the life of Christ do that? So this being, sharing life, being one-on-one with these people and just spending time with them, interacting, is allows them to see what it looks like. I thought about what Paul said in Corinthians in chapter 11. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, and that's so practical because it gives us something to look at. Now, it's a challenge to us who are trying to disciple to say, my life better look right, because if I'm telling you to imitate me, I better be imitating Christ. I remember when me and Mark would spend a lot of time together. We intentionally go out and we'll meet out in a public place. We'll be at McDonald's or something, and so many times a homeless man would walk up and interact with us or asking for money, and this, you know, and that would just be a jumping off point of how do we interact? How do we relate to that? You know, it's not so black and white when the person's right there, and this is real people really hurting, and seeing how, you know, seeing people that I respect or know that they're walking close to the Lord, how do they interact? It's so valuable. I thought we've dealt with cars breaking down. We've dealt with schedules getting messed up. You know, people being sick. As I spend time with Mark and a few other men that are discipling me, I see how they deal with just life. And I think that's important. I think we can get too clinical sometimes. We don't actually just share what, man, this life is hard. And you can walk with the Lord as close as you want. You're going to have problems. This is just the world we live in. And how do I be Christ-like while I'm dealing with these things? I thought about some things that you can do. You can obviously meet in public places. Me and Mark, we've run errands together. I've taken guys shopping with me. We do projects in the backyard. There's so many things that just, you know, it doesn't always, it's anything. It can be, I mean, I work with guys that we literally, on the ambulance, and we spend our time, I'm literally discipling somebody while driving down the road. So it can be anything, but it's just involving them in life. And that's sometimes a little hard because life's busy enough, and now you're telling me I got to involve someone else in it. So it's a challenge, but I think it's important. Like I said, it allows for object lessons. It allows them to see the things we're reading about in Scripture. I think about, you know, how many times have we heard the put on Christ, walk in the Spirit, love your enemy. And that's biblical truth. That's solid. There's nothing wrong with that. But what does that look like? You know, and that's where I ran into the problem all the time as a young believer. Like, I understand these things, but show me. And I think that's a lot of us need that. So the sharing life. So we've got studying the Word, share life together, and finally share in ministry together. And if I use the same example, like if the Bible is the classroom, sharing life is the lab, sharing the ministry is get to work, get a job. And this is so, for me, it's been so crucial. In the last year or two, me and Mark have been purposely, as we get together, we'll go visit someone in the hospital. We'll go purposely minister to people. And that is so valuable because two things that I was thinking about why it's so precious is, one, it allows these young believers to see that ministry isn't for a select few. It's for all of us. We're all called. We all have gifts. We all have abilities that the Lord has blessed us with, and every one of us are called to do it. But so many of us are afraid to step out because, well, that's for the elders. That's for the deacons. That's for missionaries. That's not me, but that's not true. We all have those gifts. And see, so as you go with someone, you can kind of learn to see, wow, I can go visit somebody at the hospital. I can go take a meal to someone who's hurting. I can do those things. That's ministry. That's practical, real ministry. And I think sharing that with a disciple, someone you're trying to teach, is so critical. And the second part of why that's so valuable, I think, is that it builds relationships. You want to have a deep relationship with somebody, work alongside them for a while. And I'm sure many of you have counseled at Mountaintop, and I was just thinking about that. Just, you're up there for a week, and you're a counselor with other counselors investing in lives. I mean, you build relationships with those other people you're working alongside that you can't compare to, you know. I was thinking about just working in the ambulance, you know. You've run so many different people, and some calls are not that bad. Some calls are pretty tragic. And I was thinking about the guys that I'm closest to, the ones that we have a bond with that you can't explain it, are the ones that we've been through, pardon my expression, hell and back. And I think that's practical. I think that's real life. So you want to develop relationship people, you want to invest in these people, serve with them. I was thinking a couple years ago, me and Mark had the privilege, we were meeting at McDonald's, and just we were just going to hang out at McDonald's. That was the plan. Didn't have any big plan. We were just going to hang there and talk for a while. And he got a phone call from Kim, and long story short, someone he didn't know, someone he knew through the chapel that knew them, it was somebody he didn't know personally, they came down from Boston to Raleigh, and were at a camp for a week with their son, and their five-year-old boy drowned in the pool. And he was on life support at Chapel Hill. So Mark got the call, and I didn't have anything to do, so he asked me if I wanted to come with him. Because basically the van had nobody down here. So Kim had gotten the phone call to ask if Mark would go and pray with him. So I was like, yeah, I'll go with you. I don't know, I was intimidated. I was scared. I'm like, what have I got to offer this man? And we got there, and the man, I don't remember his name, but he met us out front of ICU. And we told him who we were, and we introduced ourselves. And basically, we just put our arms around each other and just prayed. And I could even tell you what we prayed. It was mainly just crying together. But it was one of the most precious and privileged and humbling moments. And it was an honor that I got to be a part of that. Mark let me in on that. So don't downplay what you guys do and when you're serving, and let others in on it. You'd be amazed how much that is a value. So that's the three things I wanted to share. Again, I wanted to encourage you. I was just thinking about, like you, brother, said about just an opportunity to disciple those two little guys. And honestly, what Dave said about mentoring to a 71-year-old man, there is no cutoff. There is no, we're never off the clock. And just, I would encourage you to keep investing in lives. I'm so privileged to be a part of this assembly. Because I look around you and I see a lot of you. I know so many people. You guys are investing your time and your gifts and your talents into people. And I would encourage you that even if you don't think you're making a difference, I promise you, you're making a difference. Because I wouldn't be standing here, excuse me, if a brother didn't take the time to just pour into me. You know. So I appreciate it, and I would just continue to encourage you in that. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you again for tonight. I hope what I said was an encouragement, and as well as a challenge and a help. But I just want to, I hope I honored you with it, Lord. I hope I did, glorified you in some way. So, Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the lives that are just impacted by discipling, and that's the way you set it up, and that's the way you want it to be. People pouring into people. And I just thank you for that. So, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to know that we can do nothing outside of you, Father. That we abide in Christ. You will produce fruit in our lives. So help us to remember that. And help us to keep our focus and keep steady until you come back or call us home. So be with each one of us tonight as we go out. Give us a good rest of our week. Help us to serve you. Help us to invest in others. And help us just to be a blessing to the world around us, Father. We love you. We thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.